Grace and peace to you in the name of the one who washes over us and makes us new. Before the Georgia election results came in on Tuesday, I was listening to some political commentators. One of them said, referring to both parties, "What they are after is numbers, because with numbers is control, and with control is power. That's it. Control and power, this is what they are after." The comment came hours before the insurrection at the Capitol, and it struck me simply on account of caught up in the conversation, I was so little surprised by it. It is the surprise of stepping back and seeing what has become, the water that is boiling us alive. The governmental pursuit of control and power heightens in uncertain times. The oath of office that each of the senators and representatives now take was shaped actually substantially during the Civil War, a time of shifting loyalties and traitorships. Control and power fueled this war. And here we now are also in uncertain times. And the governmental oath to defend the Constitution, to bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and to acknowledge that the obligation is taken freely, without coercion, bears new and precious perspective. The pursuit of control and power is the soup that we are swimming in. Any moral courage to the contrary is balm. I have never been completely sold on the political philosophy of Englishman Thomas Hobbes, whose work, some say, have deeply shaped the Western political world. I have never been completely convinced of the picture that he paints of human nature. Without a common power to hold men in awe, he writes in his famous work, Leviathan, men are in a condition called war, and such a war as is every man against every man. For as the nature of foul weather lieth not in a shower or two of rain, but in an inclination thereto of many days together, so the nature of war consisteth not in actual fighting, but in the known disposition thereto, during all the time there is no assurance to the contrary. The political commentary that I heard echoes the Hobbesian picture, this known disposition to war or foul weather, human hearts curved in on themselves, sin. There is one in office who has taken grave and egregious advantage of this foul weather, our war with one another. Destructive water is raining down, and they have taken the one umbrella. Where do we go from here? In today's scriptural readings, the Ruha, the breath of God, takes center stage. Later, this breath would be named the Holy Spirit. In Christ's submersion into the river waters of the Jordan, the Spirit, this breath, descends on him like a dove. Water and breath converse and something happens. Order emerges out of chaos. The wind or breath of God sweeps over the waters and something new is birthed. This transformation is what we are reminded of in our own baptisms. We are made new. We are called into creative order. We are reminded whose we are. One of my professors of Lutheran theology said once that we should be reminded of our own baptism every time we step in the shower. Cards will go out this week sent by the stewardship committee, reminding us of our own baptisms. And I think we do need this reminder. Hang them wherever you need reminding. We have been claimed by God, and we are being made every moment new. And so we are being made new in every little baptism, a daily shower, a swim in the ocean, or in a pool or pond. When caught in the gentle rain of Hawaii, with a small snowflake on the tip of a tongue, we are reminded that we are God's, that we are being made new. And this is why I believe Thomas Hobbes does not have the final word. As a person of faith, there is more to the story. I'm currently reading the book, The Road to Character, written by journalist and commentator David Brooks in 2015. Each of his chapters covers the lives and moral threads of historic figures, like Dwight Eisenhower, Dorothy Day, George Eliot, A. Philip Randolph, and others. Another was the civil rights organizer, Bayard Rustin. Rustin is not well known, and I did not know of him before reading the book. He was a gifted organizer, and early in his career, he was a popular speaker and an advocate for nonviolent resistance. He was, at the time, an up-and-coming charismatic civil rights leader. But he was also arrogant, and a series of promiscuous actions destroyed his longest partnership and his reputation. It would be years before he returned to his work of organizing, and he remained behind the scenes for the rest of his life. But it was Bayard Rustin, together with A. Philip Randolph, who resurrected their idea for a peaceful civil rights march on Washington, D.C. in 1963. Martin Luther King Jr. eventually became the voice and the face of it. The war of all against all, the pursuit of power and control, can be named and recognized. But we are not victims to it. We are surrounded with water and breath, these gifts of renewal. We may fall short as Rustin did, and we will. But there is more than responding to ugly with ugly. There is the call of beauty, the breath whispering holy and sacred order from chaos. Congress members Gabrielle Giffords and Mark Kelly, in the privacy of their own life together, have risen hour after difficult hour, month after month in physical therapy, supporting one another in marriage after vast and irreversible changes, and have courageously continued to serve in spite of violence, even when that violence comes at mocking times. Something more than life as solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short, as Hobbes described, is at work. We may be disposed to foul weather, but there is also water that transforms. Rustin's life and others remind us that from a power outside our own, we rise anew and do the work set before us to do. In The Road to Character, Brooks also quotes theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. Niebuhr wrote these words: "Nothing that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we must be saved by love. And no virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as it is from our standpoint. Therefore, we must be saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness." Blow forgiveness, renewal, and moral guidance over us, breath of God. Wash us anew in the waters that hold us together, in waters that break forth from the baptismal font into the world. Wash us anew in the waters of the Pacific and of the Atlantic, in the running waters of the great Mississippi, in the lakes of Superior and Erie, Huron, Michigan, and Ontario, in Lake Pontchartrain and the Great Salt Lake, in Lake Champlain, the Ohio and Hudson, in the Gulf of Mexico and the expansive Everglades, and outward from here. Hold us together, O breath of life. Remind us whose we are, and wash us anew. Amen. Please join us for the hymn of the day.